Amen. He's had a lot of times and a lot of situations where people tried to wage war against him. But God prevailed. Amen. Give God another praise. Amen. Just want to let you know that coming up, that coming up is our homecoming, and that's going to be on the third Sunday in August on the 18th, and we're recruiting 100 men, 100 men. Now, how many of y'all believe that 100 men choir is possible? All right, amen. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Can God do it? Now, how many of y'all are going to believe that God's going to do it, or are you going to wait until it happens and then say, praise God, he did it? You got to believe. You got to believe according to your faith. And I thought about it. 100 men have gathered for other causes. Why not gather for the cause of honoring God? Amen? Amen. So we're recruiting the 100 men to join us, give God praise. Now, if you can't sing too well, then we ask that you sing so low. But we're looking at glorifying God on that 18th. And then on the 17th, we'll be having outdoor activities. We're praying for good weather. The Lord will bless. We've got some activities for the young people as well as for the old. Come out, be blessed, enjoy the fellowship. And then on Sunday, we're going to have the worship. And it looks like we're moving forward that on the 18th, on that afternoon, or that after the service, we will be having the dedication for our church library, the Ruby and Mickles Church Library. We're looking forward to the dedication of that on the 18th. Amen? Following that, we'll be having our revival, and the Reverend Sinclair Hall will be our guest minister. He's the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Alta Vista. So that'll be our activities that we'll have coming up for our homecoming and revival. I am excited. I'm excited about what God is doing. Amen. Going to be closing out our series that we talked about how you face these crises and these circumstances in life. So we're going to be closing out today with some helpful things that will help you to grow in your faith, make you stronger in God. Because I know that every one of us have faced some difficulties. You've had some struggles, and there were times that you didn't even think that you were going to make it. But didn't God bring you through? Amen. So he's able. What we have to do is to learn how to apply the principles in God's word. And what amazed me is that in the book of Acts, we've been going through the book of Acts. If you've been keeping note on that, we've been going through the book of Acts, and the Lord has been having us to go to certain passages and discover what's in that passage, to discover what God would say to us in that particular passage that we've been going through. Have you all been blessed by it? I know I have. And I know a lot of times my wife will say, aren't you finished studying yet? I mean, all of it, obviously, I can't preach it. But you discover so much about what God is doing and how he can do the same thing in your life. That's the amazing thing about God. So we want those that are online to follow along with us. And as we join together in here in the sanctuary, the close of this service, we will be having our communion. So we ask those at home that you would prepare some grape juice and a wafer, and we're going to celebrate communion at the close of this service today. Acts chapter 23, and beginning with verse 10. As you know, this time Paul has been arrested in Jerusalem. And he's given his testimony, if you would, before the Sanhedrin court, and they are at a disagreement. So we pick up in verse 10, and when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also continue to bless the reading of His Word. I want to share with you just a message. When God speaks into your circumstances, when God speaks into your circumstances, let us pray. Father God, we ask that You'd help us now to declare Your truth. Help us with things that we've studied, that You'd bring it back to our remembrance. Teach us, Lord, the things that we need to know. And then lead us in the path that we would follow the directions that You've given. Father, I pray that You'd speak clearly, that You speak boldly, and that, Lord, You would just use us all, that we would glorify Your name. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. People have always wondered how God speaks. How does God speak? And as you and I know, that God can speak in any way, any form, and any shape that He wants to. And while, yes, it's important to pay attention to how God speaks, we need to focus more on what God says. How He is speaking to us, really, it depends on the relationship that we have with God and the character of our own heart. What's going on in your heart? What would prevent you from hearing God when He speaks to you? Can you hear Him clearly? Or are there things that are distracting the voice of God, keeping you from really getting into the message that He would have you to hear for your life? It could be the very circumstances itself. It could be the very trial that you're going through right now that's speaking louder than the voice of God. And it causes doubt. It causes us to have some type of feeling, well, is this God or is this God? You get confused. And that's the atmosphere that Paul was in when all the people were arguing this, some arguing that, some saying, yeah, Paul's right, some saying he's not, and all of them wanted to take his life. How does God speak in your circumstance? What does He say? And how do you pay attention to follow His direction once He has spoken to your life? We're going to look into that today. We're going to look into that. This is all a part of our series that we've been talking about, facing life challenges. You're going to have them. I wish I could stand here today and tell you, you will never have another problem in your life. Vote for me and I'll set you free. And you're saying to yourself, yeah, right. You and I know we're wise enough to figure out that somewhere down the road, somewhere in our future, we're going to have to face something. We're going to have to go through something. And the only way that we're going to be successful in facing that, we've got to have the right frame of mind. You've got to have something going on in your heart and your mind that says to you, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These words in the Bible, they're just not written to be poetic. They're not just written for you to get entertained. They can inspire you, but it's to breathe life into you. It's to breathe into you what I call a sensitivity for God. Now you're listening. Now you're paying attention. Now you're saying, God, everything's going to be all right. Even if I have to go through a struggle, I know that I'm going to make it through this because of Your power that gives me strength. Now, you may not be able to say that right now, but hopefully this message will help encourage you so that you can get to the place where you're saying, you know what? Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Let me face it. If this is what God wants for my life, some way, somehow, I'm going to make it through this crisis and this circumstance, and I'm going to give God glory for it. Amen? So listening is the key. Listening is that critical component. People say, well, I'm going to obey God. You can't obey God unless you listen. It's impossible. You didn't get the instructions. That's why we get off course. That's why we get over here in some things that we cause on our own, because we just didn't listen. When you listen and pay attention, then you can learn something from God. It is impossible for anyone to follow Christ if they are not aware of what he said. You say, well, why go to Sunday school? Why attend Bible study? Why do we go to church and listen to the message? Why should the minister preach God's word? Because we cannot follow what we have not listened to. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? And sent means God gave him something to say. That's what it means. God gave him something to say. He's simply repeating what he heard. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a mailman. I just deliver the mail. Amen? So you've got to listen. You've got to listen with the intent that once God's message becomes clear to me, once his message gets in my heart, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to say, well, yeah, that was good. I'm going to perform exactly what God wants me to do. Paul said, you know what? I'm in this circumstance. Can you imagine him going to sleep that night after he had been in a great struggle between the Sanhedrin court? The Pharisees are saying this. The Sadducees are saying this. And everybody else is saying we all want to kill Paul. Can you imagine when he went to sleep that night? How his mind was just swirling about. How is God going to work in this? I'll give you something better. Last time you had a visit to the doctor and you came out of that office, if they said good report, you said, oh yeah, we got this. But if they said, okay, there are some things that we need to look at. Now you got all these thoughts swirling around in your mind and you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to move forward? How am I going to get through this problem that I'm facing? Could be a job. Could be any other situation that's going on. Could be a circumstance with your child. Now you're asking the question, is God really engaged in what I'm doing and what I'm going through? Paul says, I've been there. That's why this little small passage really speaks volumes to some of the things that you and I face every day of our lives. So you got to have a sensitivity for hearing God's word. Y'all still in the house? Now, if we think about this, about Paul and what he's going through, the first thing that comes to our mind, what is God's purpose? Is there a purpose of God that's wrapped up in this problem that I'm facing? If he wants me to go through it, then is there a long-term goal? Is there something I can set my eye on to say, yes, here's where I'm headed? And that night, what is it? Or should say, the next night, the night following, God let him sleep on it a whole day, right? He had to go through a whole day. The next day, God revealed, Paul, you're not only going to be here at Jerusalem, you're also going to witness for me at Rome. Now, he'd never been to Rome, never seen the people there. But he knew from that moment on, the plan was, we're going to Rome. How many of y'all have watched this program, American Idol? Yeah. I got problems with the title of it because that's neither here nor there. But what they try to do is to find talented people. People that can, vocalize and perform. They're trying to find these people. And at some point, they want the judges to say, you're going to Hollywood. Like, right. But the goal is, once they say that, you've got now a person who was fearful, a person who didn't know how that things would work out, for those words to be spoken, now they come out, I'm going to Hollywood. And they're all excited, not knowing that at Hollywood they might fail. Their voice might crack. Here's the point. You already know you're going to heaven. You already know that your name is written down in glory. Watch this. Nothing that happens on your journey is going to keep you from that blessed place that God has prepared for his people. Neither height nor depth, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ, which is in, what's in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I know I'm going to glory. I know I'm going to reach my goal. That's a given, amen? So what I need to do now is listen to God's instructions as to how I go through this thing. Some of you are going to heaven with your head hung down, like everything is wrong with you. And yes, you got problems. I acknowledge that you got needs. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God didn't bring you this far to abandon you now. And by the way, in case you didn't notice, you got company on your way to heaven. God's walking with you. That night that God spoke to Paul in that place where he was held in the castle, God spoke to him. He said the night following, the Lord stood, look at the word, stood by me. The Lord stood by me. And you know who stands by you? Jesus Christ. Got into a discussion with Miss Maddie Scott the other day in our senior wellness program. And Miss Maddie said, you know what? God's walking by my side. I said, Miss Maddie, he's with you always. God has made you a promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you always. You got to believe that. You got to embrace it. Amen. So when God speaks into your circumstance, he wants you to know that there's a purpose. There's a purpose. I'm going to bring up a little bit later how God sent the children of Israel into captivity into Babylon. That's a bad place to be. Why would God send his chosen people into Babylon? It's all about purpose. Had they remained in their own nation, they would have given themselves over to idolatry. And as they worship in idol worship, now they're losing their identity as God's people. They won't hold on to their faith. And remember, Christ had to come through Israel. So Israel had to keep themselves separate from the world, right? But now in their own homeland, they don't know how to behave themselves. So God said, you know what? I'm going to send you over in here into captivity. You're going to be in this place where you don't want to be, but there I will preserve you. I'm thankful to God that he let it happen. A lot of them, when they were going through it, they couldn't see it. But God had a purpose for them being in captivity. He had to snatch them out of the place where they were. Why? Because they were misbehaving. And he got them over into that place where he could preserve them as a nation. Sometimes God takes you through things to keep you from the bad things that could happen. You say, well, this is bad. It's not as bad as it could be. Amen. And now that I look back over my life, all of the struggles that I've had, all of the things that I've faced, God has a purpose in it. Everything that you've gone through, every tear that you've cried, God had a purpose for you going through that, because he knew that you got a destination. Amen. Second thing about it, we sense not only God's purpose, but his presence. He said, he is with me. He is with me. The night following, the Lord stood by me. What does it mean for God to stand by you? One is a defense. Nothing can happen to you unless God allows it to happen. The devil couldn't get at Job. Why? Because God had to give him permission. When he did give him permission, he said, you can only do so much. It's the same for you and me today. You have the presence of the Holy Spirit working and operating in your life to keep you in those times of danger, to keep you in those moments when you say to yourself, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't even know what the future holds, but God's got you. Look at somebody, tell them God's got you. God has it, not you. And then we create a bigger problem when we try to fix it. We get out a little handy-dandy toolbox. You know, and we say, let me tighten up here. Let me just do this. Let this go over here. And then we get the hammer out. And next thing you know, we got a mess on our hands. That's because we want to fix it. How many know that you can't fix your kids? If you haven't, you're in for a big surprise. You know what you got to do? You got to bring them to God and say, Lord, I'm going to put them in your hands. I'm going to ask that you deal with them in the way that you see fit. I've raised them in the way that they need to go. I've told them the things that they need to learn. And now I'm going to put them in your hands. One of the things that used to really get on my nerves when I'd come home some nights and knowing that I hadn't done what the Lord wanted me to do, anybody else wanted me to do, and I'm coming home and I just want to go to bed. Mama said, you know what? You can get by me, but you can't get by God. She said, now, I'm going to leave you in the hands of the Lord. Now I'm going to sleep. I'm just as scared as I can be. God's going to come get me. But you know, God loved me enough to take me through that. He loved me enough because he saw this day where that same one that was messing up is now standing telling other people how to live. Isn't that amazing? Nobody can do that but God. Be aware that God's presence is always with you. God's mercy and his goodness follows you, which is another symbol of his presence, another signification of his presence. That means that the Lord will never abandon you. But now when you're in the middle of a crisis, you feel like, man, I don't know if I can make it through this. Hold on, and you let God have his way in your life. Amen? Just hold on, and you just keep the faith. You just keep believing that God is able, and watch how he brings you through it. Amen? Amen. Now, let me move on. One other thing that we want to realize is not only is this purpose revealed and his presence, but also God's power. God's power. Now, here's Paul in a predicament. He can't do anything. If he goes out to the crowd, they're going to pull him apart. If he stays with the Romans, he doesn't know where his future is going to go. But you know what? It was all in God's hands. If you don't hear me say anything else today, listen to what I'm saying right now. Your life is in God's hands. And if you're in God's hands, no one can snatch you out of his hands. You're secure. Why? Because the very power of God will take care of you. Deacon J. E. McDaniel, many years ago, used to sing that old hymn. I didn't realize the meaning of the words until I started going through it myself. Be not dismayed. Whatever be tied, God will take care of you. How many of y'all know that today? He'll take care of you. Now I get to the real part of what I want to talk about today. God said to Paul, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I'm saying to you today, be of good cheer. Now, what does that word mean? What does being cheerful mean? Does it, you know, stand up being like a cheerleader? Yay, yay, rah, rah. We're going to win. Not exactly. Not exactly. Seven times in the New Testament, the phrase be of good cheer was used. It was used three times by Jesus when he spoke to his disciples. One was on the troubled sea. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Jesus used it three times. The Lord now is speaking to Paul, and he's telling him, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And you know what? When God tells you be of good cheer, it's the same way that he told Joshua, don't be discouraged. Take courage. Don't be discouraged. Take courage. Yeah, y'all didn't hear what I said. Don't be discouraged. Take courage. Now, how many of y'all know that you can't give what you don't have? Why is God saying that? Because God at that point was giving Paul the courage that he needs. Whenever God speaks to you, it's not just for you to hear something audibly, but for you to receive something on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit speaks to us power. He speaks life to us. He speaks so that you and I would be able to face whatever we're going against. God speaks in such a way that now we've got the courage to do it. These athletes that are over in France now, and by the way, I'm very, very saddened that people would commit sacrilege because they want to have a party. I'm saddened by it. I don't get into other folks' business, but I sure don't want them to get into mine. I love the Lord Jesus. I would never make a mockery of something that I didn't possess. I'm just saying that. Amen. And for people to get on the stage, use that platform to put over their little fancy life that they're living. Yes, that's your, don't mess with my God, though. Yes, do not mess with the one who brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, it's your business. You can do what you want to do. But I can tell you, whether you're straight or gay or anything else, one day you're going to have to stand before Almighty God. So don't play with this thing. Do not play with God. Do not play with God. That's all I'm going to say about it. Now I'm going on to preach something else now. But it upsets me. The blood has saved me. The blood has brought me through. Now you're going to make a mockery of my God? Come on now. But you're going to get to a place where you're going to need some help. You're going to find out that nobody else can help you but this man called Jesus. Can I get a witness here? I just feel like telling you. Let me go on back to my sermon. I'm going to get back to my sermon. But God spoke to the children of Israel. And he's speaking to you and me. He's letting us know that he's got plans for your life. And even though he allows these struggles, these situations to come in, it does not change the plan. God's getting you ready. The same way that those athletes have trained for months. They train most of their lives getting ready for the moment where they can get on a stage and they can run. I know they're just jumping to get into it. And those athletes that are preparing for basketball, for tennis, and all of these other things, they had to train for it. Saints of God, you can't just sit back, get on a pew, and say, you know what, I'm going to chill out. I'm going to let God do it. No, so God said, I'm going to train you. Yeah. I'm going to let you go through something. Yeah. I'm going to teach you that not only is prayer good, but I'm going to teach you how to pray. When you get on your knees because life has knocked you down, then you can say, I know my help comes from the Lord. It's easy to give up. It's easy to say that what I'm going through is not worth it. But remember, God had to bring you this far. And he's not going to leave you by yourself now. I know the plans I have for you. Every time I get confused, I look at it and I say, Lord, take me to your word in Jeremiah. He said, I know the plans for you. Plans of good and not evil, and to give you an expected end. That means I'm going to reach my goal. Amen. I'm going to reach it. Nobody can keep me from it. If I have to crawl to get there, I'm going to get there. Amen. When you think about it, you got to possess something. What is it that I possess? Now, here's the other question. Do I lose it in the middle of my crisis? But if you got God's joy, you don't lose it. All right? You don't lose that because whatever God gave you, it's now dwelling in you. Are y'all here? So as he gave you joy, which he spoke to Paul, be of good cheer, have that courage that I want you to have because you're going to Rome. Now Paul has got something. Why? Because God spoke it into his spirit. Let me just use this illustration. You all have you ever had somebody to say something to you and immediately you got hot? You can see flames, right? People call you out of your name. Who are you talking to? Right? Now, if a human can stir you up like that, why can't you get stirred up over God? Everybody else talking to us. Everybody else, you know, we used to go to these motivational seminars, these motivational webinars for people to speak into us so we can get excited. How many of y'all ever heard of Amway? Go to the Amway and now you're going to buy something and you're going to get excited. You're going to be a diamond. People come out, yeah, I'm going to be a diamond. No, you're still a lump of coal. You spent your money. But when God speaks to you, When Almighty God tells you, I got this, and I got plans for you, now you can react differently. Now you've got the energy that you needed because God spoke it into your life. Are y'all here today? That's what God was doing with Paul. He's at a place where he can't go anywhere. And the next thing God tells him, hey, don't give up, man. You're getting ready to go to Rome. You're going to be in the spotlight. You're going to be at Caesar's palace. Not the Caesar's palace. Come on. Some of y'all went there. I'm not talking about a gambling joint. I'm talking about change your mind. All right. But he was going to be at the place of highest authority. What? Doing, giving a testimony of the goodness of God. Isn't God great? Be of good cheer, Paul. For as you have testified of me at Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also at Rome. Learning to listen to God. I close with this. How do you spread the cheer? How do you spread the cheer? One of the things we used to do when here at Crossroads, we used to have the sermons on bulletins. And y'all remember that, the outline, the sermon on bulletins. And my motive that got me into it was because people would leave the program all scattered all over the church. Ushers have to go through church after the end of service, picking up bulletins. So I said, well, you know what, let's put the outline of the sermon in the bulletin. That way they can take it home, and then they can share it with somebody else. So it had twofold. Number one, help clean up the church, but also you would be equipped with the message. What did the pastor say on Sunday? You go to the outline, and you'd be able to go from that outline and say, here's what he said. He talked about this, talked about that. And you know what I found out after people left church? They still left the program. You got to pay attention. So when we talk about listening to God and being of good cheer, if you're going to get that down into your spirit, first thing you got to do, you got to acknowledge the source. When you walk on these church grounds, you're not at just any place. You're coming into the house of the Lord. You start developing a different attitude. I get to listen to God. How many of y'all ever gone to a concert of your favorite artist? Come on, raise your hand. Yeah. Go to your favorite artist. You listen to them. You start singing their songs before you get there, right? Yeah, man, I'm going to see so-and-so. I'm going to see this group. I'm going to see that group. You start singing their song, getting excited about them. Because remember when we had our first time that we had the Nightingales here? Man, everybody say, playing the Nightingale song. Had Fletcher Hubbard on the radio. He's just playing their song. And the Nightingale showed up. They got on this stage and they performed. You were singing their song. What do you do when you go to worship God? I know what you do. You drag in. Then you wait for somebody, come on, Lee, get on that piano, let's play my soul happy so I can get into the service here. Come on, T, sing a song here so we can get, come on, Bernard, y'all sing so I can feel something. If you didn't feel it in the parking lot, what makes you think you're going to feel it when you get in here? You got to praise him on your way to church. As a matter of fact, I'm like David. If you bless the Lord at all times, you don't have to worry about your praise showing up. How many of y'all showed up and your praise was here? How many of you showed up and you knew that God brought you from a long way? How many of you showed up because the devil said you ain't gonna make it, but you said, watch the devil, I'm going anyhow. Shout yes, somebody. You got to praise him. You got to honor him at all times. Not just sometimes, but at all times. Why? Because you are acknowledging that's where I got it from. When people say, where'd you get your blessing from? I got it from God. Where'd you get your money from? I got it from God. Now, you might have thought it was a job, but that was just the conduit. That was just the avenue. That was just the way, God bless me. But it all came from the Lord. And if it comes from God, nobody can take it away from you. So acknowledge your source. When we get in here, it ain't about, they're too loud. They're too loud. They need to go somewhere and sit down and be quiet. And the same one that said that, get them at their football game. Watch them then, jumping up and down. Yeah, that's my baby. I know y'all say, but I'm going crazy. I'm crazy about Jesus. Second thing, listen to follow. Paul, when he found out that he was going to Rome, guess what he did? He wrote a letter to the Romans. He said, guess what, y'all? I'm coming to Rome. How did he know he was going to Rome? God told him. Right here at this verse. And Paul wrote one of the greatest declarations of the Christian faith that could ever be stated. And he talked about things that were necessary in our lives for us to build a relationship with God. That's because he was excited about where he was going. I'm excited about where I'm going in life. Imagine that. Old man now. People say, you're too old to do things you're doing. Guess what? I'm going to do it before I leave here. Yes. Amen, somebody. I'm going to enjoy God's blessing while I'm here. Because when I'm down in the grave, amen, I tell you what, I can't enjoy them then, but I'm going to enjoy life now. Hallelujah, somebody. I'm going to enjoy the goodness of God. But listen to follow. Listen with the insight in mind. Lord, once you've spoken to me, I'm going to start walking. I'm going to start heading toward that place where you want me. Paul, in his mind, was already on his way to Rome. He was always on his way. Well, how did he know that? God told him so. So acknowledge the source, listen to follow. But then thirdly, you've got to live on God's decree. Now, what do I mean by that? God doesn't just speak to tell you things. Well, just want you to know this. This is not FYI, okay? This is not to keep you informed. This is to speak a decree in your life. Did you not know that nothing could have kept Paul from going to Rome after God released it? Nothing, except one thing, and that's Paul himself. Here's where we come down your street. Some of you have already made up your mind, it can't happen with me. You've already drawn the line and said, well, yeah, God can do it for everybody else, but he can't do it for me. He can bless everybody else, but he can't bless me. Everybody else can be happy in tribulation except me. Woe is me. Now, I want you to do something. I want you to empty that mindset, because now you're setting up a throne in opposition of God. Now you're setting up your own rulership, and you're saying, I'm in control of my life. And if I want to be miserable, I'm going to be miserable. You don't have that right because you didn't make you. God made you. And if you carry that attitude continually through life, you're going to taint everybody else. Everybody else is going to be looking at you, man, why are they so down? And you wonder why you don't have many friends. Hello. Change your mindset. Listen to God's decree and then live on it. Jesus uttered something. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here's the same God that spoke in the beginning and said, let. People say he said, let there be light. He didn't put it in the King James. He said, let light. And light appeared. It just happened. There were no, what do you call those things that fill up the rest of the sentence? You know, adjectives and adverbs, let there be light. No. He said, let light. And light came from everywhere. God had to separate the light from the darkness. And watch this. That same God that spoke in the beginning spoke to Paul and said, be of good cheer. Let me take it down your street. That same God is saying to you right now, lift your head up. Lift your head up. Get above that problem. Get above that situation. Yeah, you're in it, but you don't have to live in it. Live by God's word. Live by his truth that he's spoken to you. You know what? If God hadn't spoken to me, I'd still be in sin. You know, I'd still be doing the same old things that were leading me to destruction. But God spoke. And I'm so thankful that I am not where I want to be, not where I need to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Amen? Amen. Lastly, share the cheer. Share the cheer. What does it mean to share the cheer? On the way to Rome, they encountered a storm. And this storm didn't just last for a half hour, one day, a 14-day storm, 14 days being tossed. And it's one thing to be in a storm on land, but it's another thing when you're in a storm on the sea. Boat being tossed up and down. Tossed up and down. People getting sick. And one verse in the 27th chapter of Acts says, they gave up all hope of being saved. But guess who spoke to Paul? God did. Because on that rocky boat, God Almighty was with them. Paul was able to look at the crowd and said, be of good cheer. Where did he get that from? He possessed it. He had it on the inside. Now, you and I, we're in this rocky boat of problems, this rocky boat of situations, this rocky boat of uncertainty. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Most of us are over, you know, certain age. I ain't saying nothing. By the way, my wife's birthday is going to be tomorrow. I ain't saying nothing. And I think Cousin Johnson's birthday is today, and I ain't saying nothing. But my whole thing is, on your rocky boat of issues is a God who still speaks to the wind. He still speaks to the waves, and he commands them to be still. Why? So you can reach your destination. So you can reach that place where he wants you to be in life. So you can lift up your head and be of good cheer. Isn't that God? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we owe you for everything, but we can't pay you for anything. But all we can do is to say thank you for that special gift. Thank you for your adorable love that took us out of the sin and the degradation that we were in and brought us into your marvelous light. I thank you for the testimony of Paul, how he was of good cheer. And may everyone leaving this sanctuary today embrace it, receive it, and live on it. I pray this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus our Lord, who gave his last drop of blood that we could be free. I pray it in his name, and I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that we all stand. Those of you that are online, you can't really join us in here, but I want you to respond to this. I want you to just think about
keep on raging
what it means to have
life,
Christ in you, what it means to have his peace.
And sometimes
and I want you to embrace it today.
To tell the
and then if you take that step of faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, write to us, crossroadbc.com. Go to our website and write to us. Let us know. Those of you that are in here,
reassure.
You have an opportunity. If you've never made Christ Lord of your life, you got this rocky boat.
My eyes
and without him, your boat is going to sink. It's going under. But with Christ, you're going to sail on.
that special place.
The altar's open.
He has prepared.
Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come.
But if
there be one,
the storms don't cease, trouble winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul, soul has been anchored in the Lord. Did y'all see them make fun of my God?
Yeah.
Though the storms keep on raging in my life, Lord, I bless you today.
Yes.
And sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day.
Yeah.
Anybody ever been there? Still that hope that lies ahead is reassured. It's gonna be all right anyway. As I keep my eyes upon the distant shore, I know he'll lead me safely to that special place he has prepared. But
if
the storms don't cease, trouble winds keep on blowing in my life, my my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Oh,
I realize
that sometimes in this life, Pastor, we're gonna be tossed.
Yes, sir.
By the waves and the currents.
Yes, sir.
That seems so fierce. But thank you, Jesus. In the Word of God.
In the Word of God.
I got an anchor.
Oh, I've got an anchor.
Yes, I do. And it keeps me steadfast and movable. Stop and spite the tide. But if
the storms, if they don't cease, and if the wind keep on blowing
in my life, my soul
has been,
soul has been anchored in the Lord. Anybody's soul has been anchored? Anybody's soul has been anchored? My soul has been anchored
in the Lord.
Come on, put your hands together, yeah. Billows may roll, breakers may dash. I shall not faint because it hold me fast. All up in line,
yes, sir.
Wrapped in his eye, know it's all right. Because Jesus and I and my soul.
So
my soul. Say.
My soul.
Pastor, my
soul has been anchored in the Lord.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Shake somebody's hand and say, Lord, have mercy. We got Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's all we need. My soul. Been anchored in the Lord.
Hallelujah. It's communion time. If you have not been served, raise your hand and we will. The Bible said that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he shared something with his disciples, true disciples, about his sacrifice and about his love. If you have your communion, we're going to pray over it. While you're waiting, Jesus didn't have to do this. The only thing that motivated him was his love for us and his love for his Father. He laid down his life that we might have life. What a blessing. What a blessing. So if I say to you that we're representing the Christ who gave his best, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, even those words cannot describe such a precious gift. Let us bow and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving your best, for making us God's best. And Lord, we receive it with gratitude. We receive it in recognition of what you've done. We do this in remembrance of you, that we might possess your joy, your good cheer, and your very life. Thank you,
thank you
for blessing us. We pray that you'd keep us now and continue to strengthen us, that we would be your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us take the bread and let us eat together. Now let us take the cup and let us drink together.
Amen. I know it.
Brother Joe is going to come and dismiss us in prayer. As we go out, we're going to go out singing a hymn. Remember to give your offering as you go out. And may the Lord bless you real good. Amen.
Save me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. I know it was the blood. Save.
Thank you, God, for the time that you have given us to share, to together to listen to the message. And also, Father, for the opportunity, Lord, that you have given to us to give. So we do pray, ask your blessings upon this offering. Use it, O God, so that men, women, boys, and girls everywhere may have an opportunity to fellowship and to hear and receive the word of God, and that Jesus can make a difference in their lives. We thank you for it. Now we pray as we depart from this place, O God, of worship. May we continue our worship, O God, with thanksgiving to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Always be thankful. Always give him praise. And always recognize that he is first in our lives. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.
All right, thank you, sir.